So many of us neglect to understand or comprehend. We willingly do not realize the blessings that God has given to us, and thereby we're not as thankful as we ought to be. And so in this particular place, we have a problem. I know that you know that Paul is writing to a congregation, especially in Corinthians, was one of the worst ones in there, that got into all kinds of things that were not in the Bible and not supposed to be happening in the church. And these things were happening in the church. And Paul writes a letter to them, and he's directing their thoughts back to what the Bible teaches. There's one that likes Paul. There's one that likes Apollos. There's one that likes this. There's one that likes that. So they're putting the emphasis on the man as opposed to putting their interest on where it should be, and that is on the love of God and the things that God does for us. I have many things today that I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for so many things that God has done in my life over the years. I thought about how many times that I had my ideas or my thoughts was one way, and over the years God has changed it to another direction and caused me to see things that I had never seen before. I'm thankful that when I look in the Bible, which I don't spend enough time in, I have found that the Word of God is so real and so alive that it is able to change my life that nobody else could change. My wife is constantly trying to change me, and I'm constantly trying to change her. We do not realize that we're never going to change them. I hate to tell Michael that he's never going to change the woman that he espoused to, and I want to tell her the same thing: you're never going to change Michael. That's depressing. It is depressing. But that's not going to happen because God has made us the way that we are. We are to complement each other. We're not to try to change each other, but we're to complement each other. We're a part of each other so much that the Bible says we are one flesh. And so we need to realize that God's Word is so alive and so real and so profitable to the Christian. And so often we take those things for granted. We take for granted that we have freedoms in America today, and we're gradually losing those freedoms. Well, those things are being taken away systematically away from the people of God. People do not care. Government does not care what the people think. They do not care. They care about their power and their authority and so on and so forth. And we need to realize that as a church of believers, we need to represent our Christ in the same manner that He represented Himself. We need to represent Him as the only truth in the world today. And yet denominations teach us opposite of that. We need to lose our religion in the sense that what those religions are not based on the Christ, the anointed one of God, and that's exactly what happened in the Gospels, in which the church, I want to retract that a little bit, because I believe that 95% of them were not saved. They were not in the church of the Lord Jesus. If you want to be in the church of the Lord Jesus, you have to repent of your sins and ask Jesus Christ to forgive your sins. He will wash away your sins, and you become a member of the church. The church, and I'm going to talk about this in a few minutes, the church is not this building. This church is something far greater than that. And most concept today that we have is that it is a building. We build huge tabernacles. We build all these great monstrosity things that give no glory to God whatsoever. What does give glory to God is a Christian walking sold out to the Savior and believing every word that He tells us. And as you do that, then you're going to reveal to the world what our God is all about. Amen. So these verses talk about the church and all their concepts and all their things, and they had as much trouble in that day as we do in our day concerning the church with the ignorance of the people. There's two kind of ignorance that we can see. One of them is ignorance is just that you don't know. Okay? Now you probably hear something this morning that you've never heard before. It's a good possibility. And that means that your ignorance has been eliminated in that area. Okay, so you learn about something, your ignorance is no longer in that vein now that you know. Okay, but then after that, you could be willfully ignorant, amen, and that is sin when it pertains to the Bible. If you do not want to hear what the Bible has to say this morning, then you're willfully ignorant of wanting to have what God has for you today. You will give an account in some particular time at the judgment, you'll give an account for what you heard this morning, but not only what you heard this morning, which was on my behalf, but what you did with what you heard. Amen. God will hold you accountable. And so how you respond to your society, how you respond to your nation, your people, how you respond to all those things, you will stand before God one day and give an account for everything that you did. Every word that you thought, every attitude that you had, every thought that you had, you will give an account of that. Now, you might say this morning, well, I don't know, know what I'm thinking, but I'm thinking Brother Billy is a whatever. Okay, you're going to give an account for that. Amen. I'm not saying that I got everything together. I'm not saying that I got everything right. I'm not saying anything except for the Bible is what I want to give you this morning, and you cannot contradict or get away from that. Okay, it's the Bible, the Word of God, I want to, you to hear this morning. So, with that being said, I want you to look at chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll begin at verse 9. And remember now, the problem is, if you go back up to the first 8 verses, you're going to find the problem is with them choosing what man they like to hear. Okay? So they've chosen the preacher instead of the Lord of the preacher. That's what they've done. And so Paul makes it very clear, and he goes through this down for verses 1 through 8. Then he says in verse 9, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. You are God's building." Now that tells me that it's not this building that we're talking about. If you come by here 30 years from now, this building may not even be here. So that is not the tabernacle of God. It's not here anymore. Multitudes of churches. If you go down Highway 35 towards Temple, you're going to come to a street called Midway, okay? There used to be a church there on the side of the road on the right-hand side called Twin Cities Baptist Church. Now, they're further out. Amen. Praise God. The church didn't collapse and no more existence there. They have a church out there that they're building and they're serving God. Amen. But there used to be a church there. That means that the church is not this building. The paint and other, we got leaks in here. We've tried to fix them and we've done everything in the world. It's depressing. Amen. It's not this building. It is what's setting in this building this morning. So he says here, "It is you, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God was given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation." By the way, the foundation is not Peter, which the Catholics say. It's not Peter, okay? It is the Lord Jesus. "And another buildeth thereon." That meaning that we can do what God tells us to do, and somebody can come along later and add on to or build on to what we've done. Amen. Listen, you know the paneling and everything, the ceilings and everything that's in here? It's not because of us. It's because of people before us. Amen? Now, you know, we can say what we will. We ought to do the best we can. Amen? All that's true. But there's been people who have left in our hands Victory Baptist Church. Okay? I want you to think about that. "Though the foundation, another buildeth their own. But let every man take heed how he buildeth their own." Take heed, he's saying. Watch out. "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." You cannot base Christianity on anything other than Jesus Christ. Now, Acts 4:12 says what? Anybody? I told y'all to memorize. Didn't I tell y'all to memorize that, Peggy? Acts 4:12. Amen. What does it say? "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name in heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." That makes it very clear. There is no other egress or opportunity to go to heaven or God's heaven or anything about God unless you come through Jesus' precious name. You say, why? He's the Lamb of God. He was a sacrificial offering. He died on the cross. I didn't die on the cross. Paul's saying to them people, I didn't die on the cross for you. Jesus did. He is the foundation. "And another buildeth their own. Let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For the foundation can no man lay, which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Now, if a man buildeth upon this foundation, now watch me, gold, silver, and precious stones, okay, that is depicting or talking about the Word of God. The Word of God always depicts silver and gold and precious stones. But notice another way, okay, that people try, okay, and that is wood, hay, and stubble. Now, what's the difference between these two? Well, one will burn, one won't. Okay? So he's going to tell us what's going to happen. If your life consists of wood, hay, and stubble, your work's going to burn up. That's just the plain vanilla. If your life is spent on gold, silver, and precious stone, then yours is going to endure the fire. The fire always represents the judgment of God. And we're studying Revelation about fire. Every time you see fire, you're talking about the judgment hand of God. And let me say something to you. Get this if you don't get anything else I say. God will judge the world. He's going to judge the world. Now, my cry is, when you go, what are you waiting on? You want my vote for the Lord? No, he don't want my vote. He don't care about your vote either. He's going to judge when it's right. God is going to judge the world. You say, where do you get that from? The Bible's filled with it. If there's no heaven, if there's no hell, there's no heaven. Hello? You know, hey, man, we got to come to grips with some of this stuff. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And those that do not come by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will split hell wide open. Brother Billy, you shouldn't talk about hell. Well, the Bible does. Jesus preached on hell much more than he did on heaven. Why? He wants you to miss it. He wants you to know what it looks like. He wants you to know what it sounds like. He wants you to recognize the fact that, brother, if you don't get your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only foundation, then you have no hope. Amen. Now, if any man build upon foundation, amen, verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. Manifest meaning that it will be revealed. It will show up for what it is. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Now you're talking about, we keep hearing this word about building on. Okay? So what is he talking about? He's talking about what we've been given and what we've done with what's been given. Do you know why you should respect the pastor of the church? He'll be the harshest one judged according to God. He's the one that God's going to say, why didn't you do this in the scriptures? Why didn't you say that in the message? Why didn't you do this? He's going to be judged the harshest of all the people. Listen, get the picture here. The shepherd, the under-shepherd, I'm not the shepherd, I'm the under-shepherd. God has given me this responsibility. The shepherd is to take care of the sheep. Now, if you don't know it, you're the sheep. I want to bring out the fact that sheep are dumb. I just thought, I don't know where that come from. Maybe the devil made me say it. Amen? But sheep are not the most active and obedient there are in the Bible. Okay? So God has said, this is a hard care. Did you know that he told Jeremiah, I want you to go down there and preach to these people? And Jeremiah said to the Lord, you know they're not going to listen. How long should I preach? And God said this, Brother Nelson, they're never going to receive what you preach. Well, why am I going? It's depressing. It's hard work. He said, I want them to know that I love them. And I'm going to be with them with the message of God until the end. They're never going to receive you, Jeremiah. They're never going to accept your message. Can you believe if they'd have said to me, I come to Victory Baptist Church, these people are never going to follow your leadership. Do you think I'd have come? Well, if I was telling you in the flesh, I'd say no. I mean, I didn't know they had Zelma down here. Amen? But I came. Why? You say because the Lord put it in my heart to come. Did you know a week and a half before they sent a letter to me asking me to come that I already knew it? You're crazy. Yes, I did. Ask my wife. My daughter cried every Sunday night as we left here going back to Milana. Every Sunday night she cried. You say, why? Because the church center had a whole bunch of teenagers her age, whole bunch of kids that loved her, all of her friends was down there. Here we come into a church with a bunch of old people. Look at them with roll her eyes. You wouldn't know? Amen? Amen. My daughter seemingly had nothing here. She cried every Sunday night on the way home. One Sunday night on the way home, after we'd been here a couple of weeks, I told my wife, I said, you know what? As bad as I hate to say this, God's going to make me go to that church. Had no idea about pay. They couldn't pay good, very good, Willie, that none of the women here had any money that I knew about. You better not have none. Amen? But here's the key. He told Jeremiah, they're not going to put their faith in me. They're not going to believe you. But I want you to go down and preach anyhow. Isn't that something about God? Even your stubborn ignorances and all the things that we have as human beings, how that we don't receive this, we don't do that, God is still gracious. You want to be thankful to God for something this morning? Be thankful He's gracious. That He hadn't struck us dead. That He hadn't killed us graveyard dead. Amen. Just thank God that He's compassionate and loving. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about being thankful for this day that we're talking about. It ought to be an everyday occurrence in our life. We ought to get up in the morning thanking God that He gave us another day. You've never seen that day before, nor you will never see it again. But He gave you that day. Amen. So if any man's work abide, verse 14 says, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Amen. God's going to reward us. I can't imagine. What has God to reward you with? It's not going to be 2 bits, 4 bits, 6 bits, a dollar. Amen. It's going to be something far greater than that. I don't know what God's going to reward us with, and I don't care. Being with Him is enough. Verse 15 said, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. There's things that you will throw away as a Christian by how you live your life down here as opposed to getting a reward in heaven. You're going to lose that. Amen. You know not where you are. Know you not. Now this is what you want. I want you to zoom in on. Two verses is what I want you to see. These verses say this. Verse 16. Know you not that ye are the temple of God. Mark that in your Bible. Ye are the temple of God. And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Mark that in your Bible. He dwells in me. Amen. Now watch me. I'm not expecting you to understand that. But I am expecting you to believe that. If you're born of the Spirit of God, you have the great King and God of all glory, the Creator of all the universe, the ones that's in control of every judgment, everything will transpire. You have that redeemed, you have that redeemed body. To be born of the Spirit of God means that you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if you have not Christ in you, then the Bible says you're none of His. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 21. He says, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. Now what normally happens to us is we let the old man in us, that is, the old nature, the old sin nature, which, let me just say this, the devil, you know, Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. Well, that's true. The devil did lead him there. A lot of Christians sitting in the Baptist church, the devil leads them and they do what he says. Fussing and arguing and griping and carrying on when we ought to be thankful to God for what God has done for us. You say, why? Because He lives in me. There's a song that, I can't even think of the name of the group right now. My wife knows it. But the name of the song is, He Lives in Me. He lives in me. He lives in me. The guy's going nuts. He lives in me. The God of all creation. Now, the old nature's still there. So, Christians, these people right here that was going through all this fussing and aggravating and carrying on, and Paul had to write them about, these same people right here had the Spirit of Christ in them. Not every person that sits in a Baptist church is saved. Amen. Some of them are just religious. And you have the same benefits that the religious in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John got, and that is, the Bible says, they're going to be cast into hell. Your religion can take you to hell. You know that. The world today is, listen, let me, I love football. Amen. I love football. I love to watch football. I've got to where I can't hardly stomach it. You say, why? Because they won't even give obedience to the national anthem. But the spoiled, no-count millionaires who are supposed to be working, they get paid. When you work, some of you get paid for it. And they're going to dictate to America and to all that are paying the bills that they're not going to operate. Why don't they give their millions to the poor, whatever? They don't care about the poor. They don't care about none of the stuff they talk about knowing about. They're drawing attention to themselves. America's God is football. And I knew I wasn't going to get many amens. I thought maybe LSU paper might say something. Amen. I thought maybe. But let me tell you something. People will do anything. When you see a moron up there in Wisconsin out there with sub-zero weather, no clothes on, paint themselves with all kinds of stuff on their head, wear that cheese thing on their head. Now that's their God. You know what they're doing? They're acting like what they're worshiping. Hello? Keep on saying amen. I need that much amen. But what should Christians do? We have eternal life. Watch me now. The one that could take the earth and crush it just like that is in control. He is our God. He's in my bosom. He will give me direction if I'll ask Him. He'll give me directions even sometime when I don't ask Him. But He expects me to obey His voice. That's all He asks, to obey His voice. Notice this now. I want you to notice two times in verse 16 He said, ye are the temple of God, and He that dwells in you. Verse 17 says, if any man defile the temple of God. Now I didn't say this. Okay, don't look up here at me like that. Him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple, there it is again, ye are. Now wait a minute, hold, watch me now. He said, for the temple of God is holy. He said, God shall destroy them. Okay, what is that saying? Can you get lost? And can you get saved and get lost? Can you do that? I mean, does denominations say that? If God worked a work in your life, if God redeemed you, your soul to Him, then how could I undo that? Somebody said, well, you believe that really, do you really, science, watch science, okay? You really believe that the whale could have swallowed Jonah? I believe that Jonah could have swallowed the whale if the Bible said it. It's not according to what I understand. It's what the Bible says. I don't know how blood can redeem. How does water quench? Explain that to me. We'll both shout a while. Amen? No, we don't know all these things. But we know that God has said in His Word specifics and tells us to do the specifics. Why? Because He lives in me. Why did Jesus say this? John chapter 14, mark it down, look it up later. John chapter 14, verse 12. The Bible says, or Jesus says this, ye shall do greater works than I did. Now watch me now, we're talking about God. We're talking about Jesus. Who was Jesus? He is God. Jesus made this statement, greater works shall you do because I go unto my Father. What's He talking about? He's talking about that my spirit will come on and be in Brother Al, Brother Yarbrough, Brother Patrick, Brother Billy. Now, if I left you out, don't be offensive. And if it hurts you very much, come down and get saved. Amen. Just kidding, Brother Nelson. Look at him. He's the wheels are turning. No, watch me. What He's saying is that we'll all have the Spirit of Christ in us because He went to heaven and the Spirit of God was able to come down here and indwell the believer. Nowhere else was the Holy Spirit indwelt nobody ever until this time. But they came on, the Spirit of God came on people for service. David said, if I go down and fight this Philistine army, can I win? God said, sure, go on down and whoop them. I'd fight anybody if I knew I was going to win, right? Amen. I used to watch Cassius Clay. That's back before he fell from whatever he fell from. I believe one of the greatest fighters that ever lived. I really do. I know there's a lot of great fighters, but I believe he was one of the greatest. But I'd fight him. You say, you would not. Yes, I would if God told me that I could win. God said, go in there and duck twice and hit him once and I'll kill him. Amen. I'd do it. You say, you're crazy. I know, but leave me alone. The Bible is real. The Bible is the only truth in our world today. Why do we read the comic books? Why do we read about Hollywood? Hollywood ain't nothing but a bunch of liars. Cheats. I wouldn't go to the movies. I ain't been to the movies in 40 years. I went to see one, I forget what it was, a while back. It's been 4 or 5 years ago. It was some religious movie that came on. Everybody went to see it and talked about it. I went to see it. It's pretty good. It's the Passion of Christ. That's what it was. But I ain't been to the movies since I was dating Miss Gloria. Amen. Made one mistake. I ain't doing that again. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. You ladies, quit rolling your eyes back and all that stuff. I mean, I'm the greatest thing that ever happened to her. Amen. Right, Joe? Look at Joe nodding his head. Amen. No, I'm the recipient. of a blessed lady. Amen. I am. And I thank God for that. But notice he says here, if any man defile the temple of God, defile the temple of God, which you are, if you do something that defiles the temple of God, God will put up with you for a while, but then he's going to take you out of the scene. You say, why? I was going into Walmart a while back. Me and my wife were. We were walking along, had two young couple, a young couple there. They had a little boy that could barely walk. Could barely walk. Hold mama's hand in one hand, daddy's hand with the other. I never heard such filthy language coming out of those two's mouth in my life. Guess what they were doing? They were programming that child. You think that child don't know what you are and what you believe? He's going to be just like you. Why is our children, why is this place not packed with young people? Why is that? Children quit going to church. They don't believe nothing. You say, why? We got to teach them the right way. Two boys was talking. One of them said, one of them was raised in a Christian family. The other didn't know nothing about anything about Christianity. And they were doping and drinking and having a good time together. And the one guy said, griping about it. And the other guy said to him, you idiot, at least you know how to get back. I don't know how to go anywhere. Those that have been taught can get back, but those that haven't can't. Unless a miracle of God happens, and they happen. I heard a man say one time, he hated the preacher, he hated the church. They set up a tent out beside the church. One day he got off of work, it was dark, he was going home. He walked by the tent, and something that that preacher said attracted him. Well, he shook it off and went on home. The next day he come by that same tent, and something else happened, and he was attracted again. So he went in. He sat on the back row, and the gospel jerked his heart out of his body. He repented and was born of the Spirit of God. He was never the same. Melvin Graham, who was here last week, said that he was my daddy. He had no blood kin, but he said anytime I needed a shoulder, anytime I needed help, anytime I needed the Bible, the man got in the book. He was in his 60s at the time he was saved. He lived in the book. Melvin said, anytime I needed some help spiritually, I went to Johnny Haddock's. He said, my wife many and many a time has called Johnny Haddock's house at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and wanted to know if I was okay. And there we were studying the Bible. A man who hated God and hated the preacher and hated the church and all those things, and God struck that man down. He was never the same. I want to say to you this morning, I want to praise Him because God is holy. God doesn't go by my standards. God doesn't go by your standards. You say, why? Because He's holy. He's pure. You think as a Christian you can do anything you want to and live like you want to? You may for a time, but there's some time God's going to draw the line in the sand. And He's going to let you know. He's going to take you out from your witnessing down here for the devil and take you into His presence, into His power. I'm thankful today for the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. I feel Him. Y'all feel Him? Is there something in here that's different? I mean, I feel Him. He's in this place. You say, why? Because He said, we're two or three together. There would I be in the midst. What does that midst mean? It means right in the middle. God is still speaking to His people. God is still giving us opportunity. I'm thankful for the new birth. I've never been the same since I got saved. I mean, I used to think, my wife said to me one time when we were teenagers, I was dating her, listen, she was a teacher of a primary class. I'd go in there and she'd say, are you going to give an offering today? And I said, well, I gave one last week. I mean, I gave $2 or $3. I mean, what do you expect of a man? I mean, I'm only making $1,200 a week. You say, you wasn't making them. Yes, I was. I could have retired with Brandon Root Company. I might have been assistant vice president or something. Yeah, bless God, I don't know. But I could have. I mean, if I'd have stayed with them, I have a friend that did. Me and him worked together. We made bukus of money. I give a couple of bucks to the church every once in a while. You know people believe that. Did you know if you don't give, you can't, God won't give to you? Did you know that? Brother Patrick, he caught that bull. I couldn't believe it. That big old bull laying over in the pasture. My grandkids caught that bull. We loaded him up. I took him to the sale. Well, Well, I've had him for a year. Everybody told me, let's go sell him. You've had him for a year. You've took care of him for a year. He's yours. Well, I told the Lord that. He said, uh-uh. What do I do now? I mean, you know, the bull brought good money. So you know what I did? This morning I was writing a check to the church for the bull. You say, why? Well, it wasn't my bull. So I took out the expenses of taking care of him for a year, and I gave the rest of it to God. Wow, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Well, it ain't dumb if God told you to do it. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying he may send me another bull. I mean, ain't no telling what God can do, but the key is we're not obeying him at the outset, and we expect God to do more. It's not my money, it's his. And by the way, everything that you make is his. Now, he's going to let you keep 90% of it, but you better give 10% to the church. Now, this church has always been a giving church. Amen. Praise God for that. A giving church. Church don't have any trouble with lights and all that electricity if we just be a giving church. Amen. And God's going to bless you more. Listen, one time I couldn't take it no longer. And I was in bad debt. And most of it was gas driving back and forth from Milano to here. And I just kept putting it on the credit card. And I owed $400 or $500. This is way back when. My daughter says, we didn't have very few men in the church. And even those that were didn't say much of nothing. My daughter said, listen, if you don't say something, I'm going to say something. I know a woman that's supposed to speak out in church. I understand all of that. But I'm going to protect my daddy and my mama. I said, just hold your britches on there, lady. Amen. She's just like her mother. Amen. Just like her. Just hold on there. So I told the church, we're going to have to give me more money every week so I could pay these bills off, gas bills. That's all they were, gas bills. Did you know that physically we couldn't figure out how we could do that? I mean, we tried everything in the world, figured out if this is according to what our offerings were. Did you know the same people giving the same money? Now, some of you are not going to get this, but it's okay. You'll come around after a while. The same money, everything was the same, and our offerings went up. You say, why? Because the church agreed to give us more money so we could pay our bills. Now, see, nobody's smiling. But if you ever get there, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about, and you might be able to rejoice. We had a lady in our church say this. Amen. She's in the rest home today. I don't know if she knows who he is or who he ain't anymore. But she had the answer. Isn't it amazing how women always got the answer? But here's the answer she said. And my wife kept the books because nobody else would. Ms. Opal died, was the best secretary I ever had. Amen. And she died. I can't believe she died on us like that. But she did. So my wife is keeping the records, doing all this stuff like this. And she's sitting over every day crying and saying, how did this happen? How did that happen? I said, I don't know, Gloria. Just enjoy it. Just bless God and just have a good time at it. Amen. Did you know that God can do things that you can never figure out? And I'm going to tell you something. You're goofy for trying to. If it's your God and He's promised to take care of your needs and all you do is ask Him for what you have need of and God will take care of it, what more do you want? And that's the God that we serve. I'm thankful for that God this morning. What a wonderful Savior He is. Amen. I'm thankful for the new birth. He changed my life. I can't explain to you what He did. Amen. God can do it. Amen. I am thankful for His uncompromising love. I've had people say this to me in the past. I'd get saved, but you don't know what I've done. I don't want to know what you've done. Don't come up here to the church. We don't have one little booth that you can confess to me and I can do anything about it anyhow. Amen? You say you criticize the Catholic Church? No, I'm criticizing what they do. Let me tell you something. You can go straight to the altar of God and you can tell Him your problems and He can straighten them out. I can't straighten them out nohow. I'll pray with you. I love you. I can't do nothing for you. I can't help you. If you want to abide by the Scripture, you know Brother Clayton has a wonderful policy. People come to him, a big church, 700, 800 people in church. They come to Brother Clayton and said, would you counsel with me and my husband? He said, sure. You have to come to church 1 month, every service. At the end of that month, you still want me to counsel with you? I will. And he said, I've never had one of them to come back and ask for counseling. You know why? He don't have the answers. I don't have the answers. But if you'll listen to the gospel, if you'll listen to the Word of God, if you'll listen to the teaching from the pulpit, if you'll do what it says, you ain't got no problem either. Amen. I'm thankful this morning for the forgiveness of sin. Let me tell you this. I'm getting close to the end. All right, y'all smile. I told the story about a guy who bought this big elaborate car, probably cost $200,000 or $300,000. It broke down on him. They came out. They sent representatives came out and picked him up. Took him on his vacation, paid for everything, took care of every need he had, took the car back to the shop. Months passed later, and he called back and he called the people and he said, hey, I don't know what happened. I don't know what you did to my car. It's running great. Everything's perfect and everything now. But he said, I never received a bill. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. And this is what the guy said. He said, Mr. Jones, we have no record of your car ever breaking down. Now, if you confess your sin, you watch me now. If you confess your sin, there will never be a record of what you did. If you confess your sins, come clean with, come clean with God, the Bible says He blots that out. There will never be a record of what you used to be. Now, I'm going to tell you something out of it to make a Baptist shout. And if it don't, you're not right with God. And you're backslidden and you need to come clean with God. There is no record of what I used to be. But I have to confess it. I have to ask Him. He is forgiving of your sin if you're going to come to Him. I'm thankful for brothers and sisters in Christ. I kid Zelma all the time. If anybody deserves criticism from the pulpit, it's Zelma. Let me tell you something. That woman has been so impressive in my life. I'll never be the same. Jesus changed me. And He put her in my path. But you know what it's all been? It's all been good. It's all been a blessing. You know what my wife said one time? Or I said it. I said, Zelma, if you need something, you call me. And she acts like she's partial to Gloria. She acts that way. I said, you call me and I'll send Gloria right on over. And Zelma said, you come. You come. You come. Now, she's going to say a lot of stuff that she's messing with you and all that stuff, trying to deceive you and lead you off and all that stuff. She'll say a lot of that stuff. Ain't that right, Willie? Yeah, she'll do that. But you know what, Miss Peggy? She meant that. A little old lady, Miss Jackson. Whoa, what a pistol after her husband left. I often wondered how come her husband was so quiet. It's because she never could let him get a word in edgewise. She was a sweetheart. You know what she, on her dying day, she wanted to talk to me. I went down and had breakfast with her. And we sat around and talked, just me and her. She run the kids off. They wanted to hear. She run them off. And we talked. And she said, Brother Billy, I want you to take care of yourself. This church needs you. I said, they don't need me. She said, who sent you here? And I said, God. She said, then they need you. You take care of yourself. You don't do too much with them old cows. I said, that's why I do it, because it's exuberating to me. I enjoy it. Amen. And she said, okay, but you take care of yourself. That's what this church is built on. The love of Christ, the love of God. I'm telling you, I am thankful. These people that I'm talking about in this church changed my life. Amen. I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm thankful for His indwelling spirit. I'd do everything backwards if I had my own way. But God has His way. He indwells me. I cannot comprehend that God is in my chest. But He said, you read it. Did y'all read that? Did y'all see a while ago what it said? Ye are the temple of God. He dwelleth in you. Well, I can't figure that out. Quit trying to figure it out and just accept it. The blessings are endless. We could start in Genesis and go all the way through the book of Revelations, and we'd find one blessing after the next in the Word of God. You say, why? Because God loves His people, and He sent a love letter. He sent us a love letter to tell us how to act and why to do and how to do and all these things. He sent that to us. The Bible, in every way, applies to your life. You don't understand it all, neither do I. But there are people that have an understanding deeper than we do, and God is feeding them just like He's feeding us. As little children, I corrected a pastor one time, not a pastor, a preacher one time, who said from the pulpit, you might not understand this. And I said to him, this is country people. And if they're not going to understand it, don't you tell it. Amen. I want you to understand where I'm coming from. I would like to spend my time this morning, which I can't do, on the church particular. So, next week, I'm going to speak on the church in particular, okay? Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to give you just a few minutes, a few seconds. If you need to come to this altar and pray, you come, it's open. Whatever God says to your heart, let Him have His way. You can't go wrong by doing as God impresses your heart. If you're lost, you need a Savior. God will take care of that. If you're backslidden and you need forgiveness, God will take care of that. If you're struggling with the world, God will take care of that. Whatever He says unto thee, just do it. So we give you opportunity to come to the altar and pray. But whatever He leads, however He leads, let Him have His way in your life. Just for a second.